that you just feel at home with us. You're going to see lots of interesting things this evening if you've never been to a baptism before, and you're going to hear some great, great stories in the way in which each of our people who are getting baptized have met with Jesus to be their personal saviour. But more of that later. Let me start by saying a few words from Psalm 100 as we begin our service this evening. It says this: Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. And that's true for each one of us here this evening. We're here primarily to give praise and thanks to God, to Jesus, for laying his life down for each one of us, that we may have an eternal future in him through faith in him. So let's just commit this time together in prayer before Adrian leads us in a time of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that it's a good day. It's a day that you've made. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that Paige and Olivia and Jack and Andy and Lewis have come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. And Father, we just commit our time together to you, and we pray that you would truly be moving amongst us by your Spirit, that, Lord, we would really have a sense of your presence here as we celebrate the good news, which is life in eternity with you, for those that want to accept that. So, Lord, we commit this evening to you and just pray that you would have your way amongst us. We ask it in Jesus' name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Andy.
I don't know where to start now. Worship with a bang. Let's stand together, shall we?
Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and
bless the Lord, oh my soul.
There we go. I was about to start beatboxing. great, it's like a well-oiled machine here, as you can tell. Great. Allow me to introduce testimonies. Who's first up, Scott? I haven't got my order of service on the thing. There we go. Okay, so we're going to hear now from each of the baptismal candidates. Olivia first. And we're just going to hear a little bit about their story, their testimony, a bit about what has led them to this point and to why they want to come out in front of 100 or so people and get wet. Olivia, do you want to come on up? Woo! Round of applause.
Hello, my name's Olivia. If you don't already know me, I've been a part of this church for my whole life due to being brought up in a Christian home. However, I didn't really know what it meant to follow Jesus. I rarely prayed, I never read the Bible, and I really was just going through the motions of going to church. Until the beginning of last year, I'd been questioning God, and I'd been asking myself the question, why be a Christian? However, now the most obvious question seems to be, why not? Since I gave my life to Christ, and I've accepted him as my saviour, I feel as though my life now has purpose and reason, whereas looking in hindsight at how I used to be, I realised I was simply not the person that God had made me to be. Though I said I was a Christian and went to church, I acted in the same way of any person who did not have a Christian upbringing. Through this time, I stopped coming to church. None of my friends had a faith, therefore I was surrounding myself daily with their actions and ideas, which very soon became mine. In early 2015, I agreed to go to Romania in that summer, so I thought I'd better start getting to know the people I was going with. I went to Deepa a few times, and I started to get to know people here a lot more. Having these people who not only shared experiences with me, but a faith too, really encouraged me to get to know Jesus better, and I gave my life to him very shortly after that. So I'm getting baptised today because I love Jesus and I want to grow my faith with him.
Fantastic. Lewis, did you want to come up? Woo! Lewis!
Hello, my name's Lewis, and not many people know me. There's a handful of people. But why I'm a Christian is because of the will and the work of Yahweh. There's some verses I want to read. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So that's why I believe, but obviously I need to tell my story of how that happened. So I was raised a non-devout Christian, so a lukewarm Christian. I professed faith when I was young, and I prayed, but I was a rebellious kid. At 13, I was hanging around with the wrong people, around violence and drugs, but I never did drugs, thankfully. When I was 14, I started getting into a genre of satanic raps, basically really dark rap music, and you kind of revolve around Satan because he's like the... it's kind of like an example of something really dark, so you look up to Satan. I started having panic attacks because I was really concerned about it. It kind of scared me. And I always kind of had a respect for God because I was raised a lukewarm Christian, so I knew it was wrong somewhere in my heart. Also, when I was 15 and 16, I started rapping more and I got followers. I've actually got music on YouTube that has nearly 20,000 views. It's people who are wondering where I am because I kind of left. I broke the world record for the fastest rapper many times, and a bunch of people were into that. My favourite rapper, who has millions and millions of views, he complimented me, he told me he liked my music, so my ego just grew. I thought it was amazing. It's what I was meant to do, that's what I thought. I wanted to be tough, and I thought things in my mind that I can't repeat here. Because like I said, I was like sort of like a Satanist, so if someone looked at me the wrong way, I just want to take him to the middle of the woods and, you know, finish him off. And some of the things are so bad that I told a friend of mine, a Christian friend of mine, about some of the things, and he said he was going to call the police because he thought I was a danger to the people around me. He cut me off, so I can't explain myself to him, but I pray for him. And in this time, I had been scared I was going to hell. So I prayed to God and I asked him to help me. Then later on, after I moved house, I thought, well, if I'm going to believe, I'm going to go to hell. I need to believe the rest of it. So I didn't give my life to Christ right away because I wanted to study the faith to see if it was actually true. Because I wasn't just going to believe it. So I started studying and I saw scientific evidence and I saw evidence historically and theology and philosophy, archaeology and such things. I started praying and God supernaturally changed me. He took away my lust. He took away medical problems I had, like miracles, just like that. He supernaturally changed me because one day I wanted to, you know, torch my teachers for speaking wrong to me. And I started to love everyone. My heart was changed. I no longer wanted to hurt people and I started hating doing what was wrong. And I saw people completely different. I remember just being at the bus stop and seeing a person and having love in my heart towards them. It was just I just saw everything completely different. I've changed so much that my dad has told me this. And my brother always says, you would have found it funny back then. He also actually told me that I'm trying to be different because it's so evident. None of my family are here right now. None of my family. And I come here on my own. Christianity is mocked in my house. And when I first came to thinking about Christianity, I also looked at things that confused me, like ghosts, conspiracy theories. I started studying Islam, and that really troubled me because Muslims are throwing these arguments. So I started studying them, and I started growing. Since then, I affirmed the biblical doctrine of the Trinity and have repented for my sin. I make rap music sometimes, but it's for the glory of the Lord. I've studied atheist arguments, Roman Catholicism, Jehovah's Witness doctrine, Mormonism, the Black Hebrew Roots Movement, Islam, Jainism, Sikhism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and they all fall short in truth. So I've basically just bashed this list of religions, but is Christianity actually true? Well, it's actually seen. There's only a handful of historical scholars on the planet who believe that Jesus didn't exist, which gives people a burden of proof who don't believe he did. It's also historically incontrovertible that Jesus died upon the cross, and there's historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. There was also a lack of evidence for the theory of macroevolution. Also, obviously there's microevolution because we can see it happen. But macroevolution is using microevolution as a reason for it to be true. That's why it's called the theory of evolution. And a person who had a lot to do with it said if the fossil record didn't bear him out, then it wouldn't be true, and it didn't bear him out. There's also other scientific reasons, like the transcendency of the laws of logic. Why are you laughing, Mike? I'm confident. I keep looking around awkwardly, and I just give random people eye contact. It looks really weird. Anyway, listen to my... I just had a drink before something. I think a huge proof also is that someone like me can actually change. So I started coming to here because I wanted to be baptised and like had the word Baptist in it. I was like, I'm going to call this place and get baptised. But thankfully, Jonathan, he seemed like he wanted to see me actually start coming. He wanted to see I'm ready. So I'm grateful that he didn't just throw me in there straight away. And it's actually been around a year I've been coming here. I don't know many people, but I want to start talking to more people. So yeah, I came here because I wanted to be baptised and I look forward to my future here. And I pray that my testimony would speak to any of Jesus' sheep that may be here. And may Yahweh Almighty bless you. I love all of you. God bless.
Thank you, Lewis. It's really hard to stand up on the stage with all these faces looking at you. And one of the things, when people have interested faces, sometimes the faces don't look interested. if you're ever up on stage, you notice someone tilting their head like this. Apparently that's because they're interested, because they're turning their ear towards you. Body language. It used to really dishearten me, because I'd look out and there'd be people doing this. I think they're just like asleep or bored or something. We actually used to have a guy in our church who was a disabled guy, but he snored really loudly from the back. So we'd have visiting preachers, and halfway through the sermon you'd hear... which is quite funny. I didn't tell them until afterwards. Yeah. Anyway. So just well done to all you guys sharing your testimony. I know it's a tough thing to do. But next we've got Paige. Come on up, Paige. Round of applause.
As I was getting up here, my dad said, follow that. So thanks. when I was asked who I kind of wanted to be in the pool with me, I thought, wow, my role models, you know, my mum, my dad, the people who've brought me to church, who've brought me up in the church life. But obviously you can't really, it's hard to decide who you want out of your mum and dad, because you love them both the same. So I kind of wanted to think, who cares for me like a mum, but would protect me like a dad, and who also is a role model to me? So I just want to say thank you, Mandy, for coming in the pool with me and really being there for me through this. And obviously I'm a 2016 teenager, so my destiny's on my phone. I've been on this kind of journey for obviously 16 years of my life, and it's kind of all the way through, the constant has been Christ. You know, Christianity's been there for me when nothing else has. It's saved me from, you know, myself a lot of the time, and I'm so thankful for that, for God, for being there non-stop, for being my constant. I was kind of lost this year, kind of went away from my faith, and when I went to Soul Survivor, I kind of found my faith, found me again, and found this new life through Christ, and I kind of am really thankful for that. I don't know how, but it's indescribable to explain why you're a Christian. I find it myself. So many people say to me, why are you a Christian? And it's kind of like, oh, why aren't you a Christian? That's what I kind of pray back. And I kind of say, well, I don't really believe what I don't see. But then I think to myself, oh, I'm a Christian because I believe that no matter if I see it or not, I feel it. I feel God around me. I feel his support. I feel his love. When I worship, I feel this thing in my gut. I just know that's him. That's him shining through me. That's him showing, like when I do something as well, that's him shining through me. That's that feeling. I want to get baptized today because I believe in that. I believe in God. I believe in Christ. I believe he is my saviour. He's the one that will get me through everything, and he is my way of life. And that's what I want to follow through. So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Paige. And Jack Cooper.
Hi, I'm Jack. Most of you probably know that I have grown up in church, and that has always been a part of my life. I never really understood why Jesus wasn't talking to me and what was getting in the way between me and him. So I was always frustrated and wondered what all these people in church were talking about. For me, the main thing was not really seeing people encounter Jesus in church. It took me a while to have my first Holy Spirit moment, if you want to call it that. I was on a youth weekend away in Frinton in 2014 doing Youth Alpha, and was questioning why certain things weren't happening in my life. We had a worship evening, but afterwards my youth leaders Matt and Heather could see that I wasn't really feeling right. They prayed for me, and after a box of tissues, I decided that I didn't really have to deal with my problems alone. God was with me. So I knew then that I had a safety net in Jesus, and that I could dip into it whenever I wanted, but that isn't really what I thought was a relationship with Jesus should be like. So I went through my year 10 mocks being sick and not really being able to have breakfast each day before school, which basically brought me back to square one again. Why, if God was real, did he want me to have this each day? Then in the summer, as a family, we went to Spring Harvest in France, and one of my leaders shared his experience of his exams and how he'd been sick every morning. His story touched me, and I had hope that I would no longer be anxious before my GCSEs. I put my trust in Jesus, and I believe that his strength got me through the exams without fear and being able to eat breakfast every morning. Up until this point, I thought that God was real and that there was a person called Jesus who died and said it was for me, but I didn't really have a relationship with him. So now we're at this summer, and I went to 3 Christian holidays over the summer, which I'm quite lucky to be able to go on. The first was called Solid, Throughout the weekend, people kept talking about giving your life to Jesus or saying that you wanted to live for him. This was confusing for me because how are you supposed to live your life for someone when you can't see them? I figured out that you have to live by faith and not by what you see. However, this wasn't really enough for me as well. I had always had those Holy Spirit moments, but even when I believed they were real, I had that thought in the back of my mind that I was just a bit cold or I was shivering or something like that. So what could really prove that Jesus wanted to talk to me? I went to Spring Harvest in France, a place where I felt that I can get away from the world and relax, expecting that I'd have a good time, and I did. It was brilliant, but I still hadn't found out where Jesus was. I was still searching until Soul Survivor in August this year. It was the 20th of August, and our youth group was sat in the huge tent with 8,000 other people, and Mike Pilavarci was speaking on how there was a wow moment with Jesus that everyone has. So I sat down on the floor after this, and I felt two people praying for me. I thought this was going to be really awkward when nothing happens. So I kept sitting there, and then I felt the hands start to fall away, and I could just feel one left. And so I was thinking, phew, not long until I can go back to the tent and go to bed. But no, Jesus decided that he would step in. I sat there shaking, laughing and crying for quite a long time, being overcome by the Holy Spirit's presence. I felt that Jesus was saying that he'd taken everything away that I had done wrong or was struggling with, and that I had a new start in him. So the summer changed me, and now I have no doubt who Jesus is to me and how he has and will transform my life. I want to get baptized today because I believe that Jesus died for me. Since Soul Survivor, I have felt a larger purpose in my life, and that even when I'm not perfect, I'm forgiven.
Fantastic. And last but by no means least, Andy Ward, coming up.
Hello, if you don't know me, my name's Andy. I'm 18. I'm currently studying popular music and music technology at the University of Wolverhampton. You may sometimes see me sort of over there, tucked away behind the drums. But yeah, I'll get onto that in a bit. I was born on the 22nd of March, 1998, into a Christian family. And we went to what some of you may know as Community Church Rayleigh, or CGC as it's known now at the Mega Centre. And with this church, we went to this youth, well, it wasn't a youth conference, but it was a conference every summer, a bit like Spring Harvest. And when I was about 8 or 9, during one of the children's meetings, they gave the opportunity if you want to sort of give your life to Jesus, and I did. It was about this time that we left that church to come here, where I sort of came along to the children's stuff. And I didn't really look forward to coming to church every week. Sort of, my mum and dad had, sort of had to drag me. They'd always sort of walk away, sort of really enjoying it, and sort of wanting to go back next week. Then it'd get to the next week, and I wouldn't want to go. That was who the children were. And then when I got to about year 7, started going to Pulse and get more sort of involved in stuff that did with the youth. And back then, I had a small interest in music, but it wasn't massive. So my loving mother thought it'd be a good idea to just volunteer me to sing in the youth band without even asking me. I was singing in this youth band for a couple of years, and at the time I was sort of getting lessons in sort of other instruments like drums. And then when sort of the Clears left this church, we didn't have a drummer, so I stepped up and played drums. It was only a matter of weeks before Adrian came up to me and asked if I wanted to play in the what we called the big boy band. I was doing as well as playing in the youth band, I was also playing these extra services, and that was quite a daunting thought to me. At the start, but as I carried on, I got into it and I really enjoy it. I want to thank Margaret, Margaret Wybrew, and Adrian, and Trevor, and just anyone that sort of encouraged me in my music and my worship here at RBC. When I was about 13 or 14, I went to my first Soul Survivor, and I've been going every year since. I've been to almost 10 of the different summer festivals. Yeah, if you don't know what Soul Survivor is, it's a festival, sort of like Spring Harvest, like thousands of Christians in a big tent in the middle of nowhere. I've loved every year I've been, but there was something different about this year that was a bit special. Because before, when we've been, when people were having the weird and wonderful sort of Jesus moments, and they were like shaking and laughing and that, sort of none of our sort of group ever sort of did any of that. We all just sort of sat and watched. But this year, just being able to sit and pray for the guys that did have these weird and wonderful sort of Jesus moments, it was quite a blessing. And at the last meeting, Mike Pilavarci, who's the pastor of the church and the host, invited people who aren't Christians to go up to the front and to give their life to Jesus. In the past, we haven't sort of really had anyone do it because everyone's already Christians when they go. But this year, like half of our group got up, and I was amazed, and sort of that really reassured my belief in God. And that's sort of the reason I want to get baptized today.
Great. To the worship band, want to come back up, and we're gonna sing again before we share a little bit, and then go to the actual baptisms themselves. Wasn't that fantastic when they made it? Should we give them all a round of applause again? Thank you so much. Thank you. Great. So Scott asked me to share, I should probably say who I am, I realised I forgot to do that at the beginning. My name's Daniel, I'm the Assistant Pastor for Community and Discipleship here at RBC. So I've been here for about a month and a half, so I'm just getting to know Rayleigh and this whole area. My first time ever living in the mighty county of Essex. That's right, so my wife and I came up from Kent. Canterbury, where we've been for the last 3 years, and yeah, it's been a great blessing being here and getting to know you all, and to do 5 baptisms a month and a half into the pastorate here is just such a privilege, and I'm really grateful to be able to be part of your story and this part of your journey. So Scott asked me to share a little bit about what is baptism, and you can't really talk about what is baptism without talking about what is a Christian. I'm going to start with a verse from Scripture, and I'm just going to share for five minutes or so, from the book of Romans, chapter 6. It says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Those are words of the Apostle Paul. So, if you've been around church for any length of time, you'll probably start to discern, or if you've ever met any people who call themselves Christians before, you'll probably start to discern that there are two different kinds. There are those Christians who follow Christ, and there are those who kind of just like the traditions and the buildings of church, but don't have a living, breathing faith. What's the difference between those two people, and how can you tell, both for yourself, if you're a regular churchgoer here, how do you know that you're a Christian and not just a churchgoer? And if you don't regularly go to church, and you're looking kind of in, if you like, thinking, is this something that I want to be part of? How do you know who's a Christian and who's a churchian? So there's a little picture that I like to use, which helps me, and helping me understand what is distinctive about the Christian faith. Christianity is often called a religion, but when you study the word religion in the Bible, it means something very different to what most people mean by that word. And actually, when Christianity was first around, Christians were accused of being atheists because their form of faith, their way of worshipping God, looks so different from every other religion in the world around them. So how does the Bible define the word religion? Well, on the way that it does that, I would say that anyone, whether you believe in God or not, is a religious person. Unless you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian, you are distinctively unreligious, as no one else in the world is. That's a bold statement. Let me kind of unpack what I mean by that. Everyone in the world is pursuing something. There's something or some things that are number one in your life that you will sacrifice everything else for. Now, for some religions, that could be Allah or Buddha or some god of some kind, or gods, if you believe in many gods. If you're an atheist or an agnostic, perhaps that's money, perhaps that's family, perhaps that's friends, perhaps that's work, perhaps that's success or fame, whatever it might be. But there is something, if you like, at the top of the mountain of life. And in front of you, there is a list of rules. Now, whether that's the five pillars of Islam, or the eight noble truths of Buddhism, or whether that's the plethora of self-help books that you can get off the shelves of Waterstones about finding success or money or fame or the next thing. There's a set of rules in front of you that says, follow these rules, and eventually, if you work hard enough, if you try hard enough, you will get to your goal. Now, true Christianity, as I understand it personally for me, is about saying you're at the bottom of the mountain, and God, Jesus, is at the top. And you can never get there by yourself. You're at the bottom of the mountain with broken arms and legs, and you just can't get to the top. And the Christian message is, God, knowing this, came down. And Jesus stood next to you and just says, do you need a piggyback? For me, that's what's distinctive about the Christian faith, as it's compared to every other worldview in the world, every other way of approaching life. Every other way of approaching life says, you've got to work really hard, you've got to do all these things, you've got to follow all these rules, and you will feel not very good about yourself until you get there. And if you do think that you're going to get there, then you'll start judging and looking down on everyone else who isn't as far ahead as you are. Now, if you've ever met anyone who calls themselves a Christian, who comes across condemnatory, judgmental, like they're looking down on you, my understanding would be is that they haven't got the heart of the good news of Jesus, which is that God came down. Because anyone who knows, I never could have done it. I never could have done it by myself. And by a pure act of God's grace, God came down and just said, hey, do you need a lift? I can never look down on another person. Because me knowing God isn't anything to do with me being a good person or doing good things. It's all about what God has done for me on the cross. And so if you're looking up at these wonderful people, wonderful though they are, they're not getting baptized because they are good enough. They're getting baptized because they've come to a place of realizing it's not about me. It's about what Jesus has done for me. And all I need to do now is respond and just say, I need that piggyback. I can't do it by myself. God, you've got to give me a lift. For me, that's the heart of the Christian faith. And that means it's both really easy and really hard. It's really easy because it doesn't require anything up front. But it's really hard because it's really hard to admit that you've not got what it takes, isn't it? And it's really hard because if God saved you completely by his grace, the life he then calls you into is a life fully for him, a life of challenge, a life of obedience, and a life of adventure. And when you know that he is that good and he is that full of love and he is that for you, that he would come from heaven to earth, from comfort to discomfort, from far away to close by, with all of the pain that that involved in the life of Jesus, you know you can trust him in the life that he calls you to. And so that's what baptism's all about. It's about saying, I've reached that point, I want to be united with Jesus. And the picture of baptism, as you stand in the water, the word baptism in the Greek literally means to be buried. And it's a picture, it's a visible sign of something that God is doing invisibly. And spiritually what happens is as you go down into the water, it's like you're being buried with Jesus and raised up again with him. That's something that happens in water, that's something that happens in the spiritual realm. They don't necessarily happen at the same time. Some people have shared already about having a personal relationship with God, and then baptism comes second. Sometimes it happens at the same time. I can't define when it happens for who and all that kind of thing, and I'm not going to try. But suffice it to say that what you see here is a picture of people who say, I can't do it myself. God, I need you. I want to be laid down with Christ and raised up with him. Because I believe the adventure of this life is best lived knowing that up front, God says, I'm with you. Not, you've got to get there and then I'll be with you. God says, I'll be with you up front, united with you, buried and raised. And that's why they're getting baptized. Amen. Amen. Scott, yeah, do you want to pray?
Well, good evening. My name is Scott Williamson. I'm the senior minister here. It's good to welcome you all. So what's going to happen now? We're going to go into the water and we're going to invite them one by one to come and be baptized. And as we do that, After we've baptized them, there'll be a song which will come up on the screen, and we want you to encourage you to sing that song. That's a song that they've chosen. That's a song that means something to them. And we want to encourage you to stand at that point and sing that song with them. Daniel and I will be in the water, and we'll just be praying with them. For those of you who are parents and grandparents, you know, where you stood, or just aunties in the Christian faith or uncles in the Christian faith, it's really good. While you're singing, you might want to take some time to pray for these people, these candidates as well, as they're in the water. And we're going to do that one by one, okay? So we're going to do that five. So it's going to take a while, okay? But we're not going to apologize for that. No way are we going to apologize for that. So, and they'll, once they've been baptized, they'll watch their friends being baptized. And then after that, we're going to go and get changed, and then we'll come back and join you. So that's what we're going to do now. And let's hope the water is warm. Oh, I thought you were going to push me.
And just say, baptismal candidates, make sure you're taking your phones out of your pockets. So I need my order to know who's coming up first. Oh, great. Great, so Olivia, first.
To you, and this will be in a card for you later on, but Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says this: I can do all through the strength that Christ gives me. And Olivia, as we were praying for you, we just sensed that this verse was for you today, that God will use you and he will empower you, and you can do all things through him who gives you strength. And I know, because I've got an application form on my desk for you, and I know that God's going to be calling you in to do some new things for him in world mission. And we just want you to be remembered that in all things, Christ will give you the strength to do it. And we want you to believe that today.
Great. So, Olivia, I'm going to ask you three questions. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
Will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
With the Lord's help, I will.
And having heard of your repentance and your faith, now I baptize you, Olivia Brown, my sister in the faith, in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you. Lewis, young man, step this way. Come, we'll help you.
So, Lewis, we've got a verse for you from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen. Let me ask you some questions, and they're just there in front of us. Lewis, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
Will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
I do, yeah.
Great. Having heard of your words of repentance and faith, we will now in a moment baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lewis. a good time? Oh, that, Daniel's having a good time. Great. Okay, now, Paige. Come on. Now, we've got a bit of a problem with Paige. She's hurt her finger. So I've baptised many people, but I've never baptised a person with the glove on their finger. So we're going to try and baptise her while trying to keep her finger dry-ish. All things are possible in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Great. Let me just read some words to you. And we've got a young lady in the pool to help us, so we'll be successful, which is great. Paige, just as we were praying for you, some words that may be familiar to you, but from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And just as we are praying for you, and I've specifically been praying for all the candidates that are being baptized today, just the sense that God wants to fill you with His Spirit to use you from the experiences that you've faced to help people understand more about Jesus. So we pray in the coming days that you will receive the Spirit of God that will empower you to be the girl and the lady that Jesus wants you to be to bring about change in this world. So that's our prayer for you. And we're going to try and do this. You need to come forward a bit, because if not, we won't just have a finger that's a problem. We'll have a head. That's a problem.
Great. So we've got the same questions for you, Paige. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
Will you seek to live within the fellowship of His church and to serve Jesus in the world?
With Lord's help, I will.
Having heard of your repentance and your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Made a new high rise.
great. We couldn't hear anything while we were praying. And sometimes as a pastor, I've been a pastor for nearly, 18 years. And as a pastor, you move around from churches to churches all the time. But it's a real privilege for me now. I have known this person since the day they were born. I've been praying for them since the day they were born, that one day they would be baptized and come to faith in Jesus. And I'm so grateful to God that I happen to be the senior minister at Rayleigh Baptist Church today, so I can be involved in this service. So, Jack Hooper, come here. Now, you're quite tall, so make sure you stand over that way. That's great.
Great. So, Jack, the verse that Scott had for you, I won't claim any credit on this one, was from Psalm 118, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation.
Great. Jack, I'm just going to ask you some questions, and if you just respond, that would be great. Jack Hooper, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
Would you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
With the Lord's help, I will.
Having heard of your repentance and your faith in Jesus Christ, we will now baptize you, Jack, in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
So before we invite our final baptismal candidate, this will be the last piece that I have to say. So I just wanted to say, if anything tonight has touched you, if any questions have been raised in your mind, if a curiosity has been raised in you, maybe there is something more to this Christian thing, but I'm just not sure. I just really wanted to say as a final thing, doubters are welcome here. Seekers are welcome here. We're not wanting the finished article. None of us are the finished article. This is a place to explore. This is a place to ask questions. This is a group of people who haven't got it all sorted and are trying to work it out. So let's work it out together. And if you want to speak to me or Scott or to anyone else afterwards, strongly invite you to do that. There is no question too big or too small. There are no stupid questions. Please take this moment in time, this opportunity to do that. So with no more ado, and that's the last from me, Andy Ward, come on down.
It looks like he's going to the Bahamas. Wow, look at you, boy. I know it's hot in here, but it doesn't feel that hot. Great. Great. Let me just read some words from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 for you. The armor of God. Finally, Andy, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty powers. And just sense that for you. Just praying for you this week. Just be strong in the Lord. You've just gone to university. Be strong in him. Rely on him. Allow him to use you, because we believe that God's going to use you to bring about his kingdom through you. So do that, and be strong. Know that we're praying for you as you're at university, and we'll continue to pray for you. And thanks for popping back tonight. It's very convenient of you. And we'll see you at Christmas. But be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power.
So, Andy, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
We seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve Jesus in the world.
With the Lord's help, I will.
Andy, having heard of your repentance and your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
You. Thank you for coming, but just for a moment or two, I was going to share some words, but my associate's done it already, so I don't want to add anything else to what he had said. I just wish he had told me earlier on this afternoon, but I don't think I need to say anything else, apart from you've heard the stories of young people in a world where there is so many other things that can distract them, but the stories that you've heard tonight are people that have fell in love with somebody called Jesus. And you've heard the testimony of how they've done that. You've heard already this evening that some said how they were searching for so many other things that didn't give them the answers. But yet they found the answer. And the answer was Jesus. Just a few days ago, I was in Calcutta, in India, in a nation where it's so dark, but yet there's so many people coming to faith because they found Jesus, whose Father, whose Son, and whose Holy Spirit. And Daniel already said it. This isn't a church where you have to be perfect. This is a church where you just need to come. This isn't a church where you need to come with all the answers, but you can just come and say, Lord, I want to encounter you. And the one thing about what the young people said tonight, and there's another service at the end of the month in November, so come along. But actually what they said tonight was that they encountered Jesus. And there may be some of you here tonight, and we'd love to talk to you afterwards. Jonathan, myself, and Daniel, our wives, and other people in leadership, we'd love to have a conversation with you because maybe you're searching for something and you can't find satisfaction in it. Maybe you're searching for something and you can't find true happiness in it. And maybe for some of you here tonight, that you know some of these candidates from school, and maybe some of you actually say, well, actually, I understood what Lewis said. And I need to find out more. We'd love to tell you some more about this Jesus who we've encountered. And maybe you haven't encountered this evening, but you've heard some stories about him. So what I'm going to do now, just before we sing our final song, and then after that we've got tea and coffee, and I think there's pizzas. Is that just for the youth, or am I allowed a slice? I don't need it very often. But we want to invite you to come and have tea and coffee and pizza if you're allowed it. But also on the way out today, you'll see some welcome cards that just says welcome to Radio Baptist Church. If you want to have a further conversation with somebody, and maybe it's not tonight, would you fill that out? We'd love to get in contact with you. But I want to pray for you. And so what I want to ask you to do is just for a few moments is just to close your eyes. Nobody's going to take your handbag. Don't worry, I'm watching. But I want you to close your eyes. And I wonder tonight, for some of you, you may have been churchgoers for a long time, but actually tonight you've encountered Jesus again, like we heard in some of those stories. In a moment, I want to ask you to put your hand up because I want to pray for you. Maybe some of you here tonight that actually you're searching for so much, looking for so much satisfaction in everything else, but you haven't found it. And maybe tonight you might want to put your hand up and just allow me to pray for you that maybe Jesus will encounter you in the coming days. I'm not going to come and sit next to you, put my hand on top of your head and get a big fat Bible out, but I want to pray for you that actually as you open your heart to Jesus, that Jesus will walk towards you. And there may be some of you this evening that you've been in this building many times before, but tonight something has happened and you need to follow that up with Jesus or one of us. I want to encourage you to put your hand up. There is nothing that Jesus can't help you with. There's nothing that you've done that is bad that Jesus won't forgive you for. And he wants to say to each and every one of us here this evening that he loves us unconditionally. He sent his only son Jesus to die for us, and because of that he wants us to know him. I want to ask you just to close your eyes just for a few seconds, and then if you'd like me to pray for you, I just want to ask you to put your hand up in the air and then just put it down again, and then I'm just going to pray before we sing a final song. So if you're searching tonight and you want to, in Jesus to encounter you, I want to encourage you to put up your hand. If you've been coming to church for a long time, but tonight you've encountered Jesus in a new way and you want him to live with you every day, I want to encourage you to put your hand up. So let's do that now. Just put your hand up and put it down again. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, I thank you for what has taken place in this place tonight. And I pray for each and every one of us here this evening, those of us who are close to Jesus, those of us who don't know him, those of us who are searching him and looking for him, that we will encounter you in the coming days. That the stories that we've heard tonight of transformation and change may well be our stories one day. We thank you, Father God, that it's not about what we can do, but it's about what already has been done for us. That Father God, you sent your only son Jesus to die for us, to give us life. And not just life in this earth, on this earth, but life in eternity forever and ever with you. Pray, Father, for those tonight who need a bit of courage to speak to somebody, that they'll do that tonight. Maybe it'll be a friend that they came with, or somebody else that they're sat next to. But I pray that we'd never let this moment go by without responding to you in some way today. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We're going to sing a song. I don't know what we're singing, but we're going to sing a song, aren't we? Oceans. Yeah, we're going to go for some more water. We're going to sing a song, Oceans, to finish. And please don't rush off. There'll be some refreshments in the hall at the back. And if you want to come and get some and have coffee and tea in church, we're quite relaxed as Baptists. You can have tea and coffee in the sanctuary and pizza. Join us for that. We'll be on the door, some of the staff, if you want to talk to us. But let's finish by singing this song together. And we're going to take up an offering. And that's for the members of our church. If you're visiting, don't feel obliged to put in money to that, but we need to do that as members of the church. Let's stand. Let's all stand and sing together. finish, I'm going to invite the guys who got baptized, just come and join me on the stage. We're just going to pray for you as we finish. Come, Paige, with your dry finger. They can work out who's done their hair and who hasn't. Great, come up a bit closer. Watch your feet, though. Here's a little card, and we're just going to pray for you. There's no Marks and Spencer's voucher or anything. Don't get excited. There we are. Let's just pray for these guys, because they need God to be with them in the coming days. And so we're going to pray for them and then go and say hi to them, hug them, kiss them, love them, give them chocolate. I see there's loads of chocolate in my office. Is some of that for me or is that? No. Thanks. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for what you've done in this place this evening. And Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these young people still on the stage now. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that you will watch over them in the coming days, that you will guide them and guard them and protect them, that you will just draw close to them. I pray, Father God, that they will be filled with your Spirit and your Word on a daily basis, that they will be hungry for your Word, that you would use your Word to develop them and to help them, to give them knowledge and faith and trust in you each and every day. And Lord, I pray for their protection, especially this week, Lord, because today they have been obedient to what your word has said. They have come to faith and they have been baptized. So we pray for your protection upon them. We pray, Father God, too, that you would use them. Use them in this place. Use them in their schools and their colleges, in their universities. Use them to be light in a world of darkness. Use them to help other people to see the same Jesus who they have encountered and fallen in love with. And Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, we thank you, not just for them, but for every young person and child in this church. We praise you and thank you for each and every one of them. And we pray, Father God, that you would use them all to build up your kingdom, wherever you call them to be. So bless them and encourage them, inspire them, and help them as they, I know, are an inspiration to me and to Jonathan and Daniel and so many other people. And we pray, Father God, that you would have your powerful hand upon them. And we ask that in the name that is above all other names, the name that is victorious, the name that made Jesus to be alive today in our hearts, and the name that overcame death. And so, Lord, we pray in that name. Amen.
Amen.
Give them a round of applause. Bless you all. Thank you for coming. Tea, coffee, pizza if you can get it. Bless you. Thanks for coming.